Streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A U.S. District Court judge temporarily blocks President Trump's freeze on funding for federal grants and loans. CBS's Allison Keyes.
The nation's capital in an uproar over the plan to temporarily pause federal assistance amid worries that it would hurt people living on the least amount of money. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This decision is lawless, dangerous, destructive, cruel.
But White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt defended the president's decision.
I think this is a very responsible measure. The past 4 years, we've seen the Biden administration spend money like drunken sailors.
Leavitt said people would still get food stamps and Social Security. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
A day before Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is to face senators for his confirmation hearings, a relative of the Human Services Secretary nominee sends a warning letter to lawmakers. And Caroline Kennedy, in a post on X, calls RFK Jr. a predator whose actions have cost lives.
He lacks any relevant government, financial, management, or medical experience. His views on vaccines are dangerous and willfully misinformed. These facts alone should be disqualifying.
Another executive order from the President Trump addresses a federal support for gender transitions for minors. CBS's Matt Piper.
The executive order prohibits gender transitions for those under the age of 19. The order says, quote, across the country today, medical professionals are maiming and sterilizing a growing number of impressionable children. This dangerous trend will be a strain on our nation's history, and it must end. A day earlier, Trump directed the Pentagon to conduct a review that's likely to lead to trans people being barred from military service.
And six active duty and two former service members have filed the first lawsuit challenging that military order. Cleanup efforts are underway after massive Los Angeles County wildfires, which are now at least 95% contained, but conditions on the ground are making the process more complicated. CBS's Carter Evans.
For those whose homes were spared by the fire, they're not totally in the clear yet either, because every time one of these lots gets cleaned up, it's going to kick all this toxic ash up into the air, making it unsafe to live in the area, even if your home made it through the fire.
The White House explains the drone sightings along the East Coast late last year. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt.
After research and study, the drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons.
Leavitt says many of the drones also belong to hobbyists and not the enemy. Under investigation is the crash of an F-35 military jet in Alaska. The pilot is reported safe after the incident on the runway at Eielson Air Force Base near Fairbanks. The jet was significantly damaged. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community.
A Packers coach gets a contract extension. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers have signed Rich Bisaccia to a two-year contract extension. The 64-year-old Bisaccia is the special teams coordinator and assistant head coach. In his 3 years in Green Bay, he's improved their special teams ranking slightly, but is also viewed as a close advisor to Matt LaFleur. The team has also hired back Luke Getsy as an assistant coach. Getsy has served as an offensive coordinator for the Bears and the Raiders. It's possible Adam Stanovich could be hired away by another team as a coordinator who could be the play caller on game day. NBA, the Bucks with a 125-110 win over the Utah Jazz. Giannis and Damian Lillard each with 35 points. Chris Middleton off the bench with 22. Head coach Doc Rivers.
You could see Chris had live legs tonight, and that was good. As a staff, we have to be very patient with it.
The Bucks road trip continues tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lady Gaga is not used to getting bad reviews when it comes to her music or acting. That ended big time when Joker Folie à Deux was panned by critics and audiences alike. Gaga put things in perspective in a recent chat with Elle magazine, saying people just sometimes don't like some things. She sounded unfazed, though, continuing that fear of failure is worse than actual failure, and if it takes over, can cause mayhem. Don't you hate it when your parole officer puts the kibosh on you hosting Saturday Night Live? Martha Stewart sure does. She whined to the perfect audience on the Tonight Tonight Show starring cheerleader Jimmy Fallon about how she missed her opportunity to host the show 20 years ago because of said parole officer. Maybe she'll get another opportunity since time has passed since she was convicted for conspiracy and obstruction of justice, as well as an insider trading scandal. It's so stressful when rich celebrities don't get everything they want. Maybe she can cry on her equally as annoying BFF Snoop Dogg's shoulder. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A few flurries around this evening, mostly cloudy overnight, to low around 20 to the low 20s and breezy. Sunshine for tomorrow, a high around 30 to the low 30s, but warming into the upper 40s on Thursday with sun.
It's 39 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Mr. Green Bay showbiz himself, Frank Hermans, who joins me in studio to discuss his new show. Then I talk movies and TV with the Wisconsin Film Festival's Ben Reiser.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the second hour of today's Maggie Dawn Show. This one's special in a challenging way for me, everybody. And I'm going to talk a bit about it today. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know that despite my gruff and strong exterior, I am a big mushball at heart. And some of the things that have happened over the last, 36 hours have got me reeling, very scared, very upset. But don't worry. Before the end of the show today, I'm going to give us all some homework, some things to do so that we don't feel overwhelmed in these moments. And in this next hour, I'm going to list out, it's impossible to list out all of the things that Donald Trump has done in the last week and 2 days that are illegal. I don't think I could get through all of them. And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans. It is harmful to government accountability. We all say, no matter what our party is, that we want greater efficiency, greater effectiveness. We want the middle class to do better, for our government to serve the vast majority of Americans better. We listen to politician after politician after politician promise to do just that. And yet, here we are. And so the question to be asked of all of us, if these are the things that we say we want in overwhelming numbers, is fascism the way to get those things? Because this is what we've got now. So let's get into it. I want to start with the memorandum issued yesterday by the Office of Management and Budget, who's being run by a guy named Russell Vaught, who is one of the primary architects of Project 2025, who I will spend time discussing at greater length later this week. But in this memo that went to basically all federal agencies, It says this: to the extent permissible under applicable law, federal agencies must temporarily pause all activities related to the obligation of or disbursement of all federal financial assistance and other relevant agencies' activities. So let's just start there. To the extent permissible under applicable law is the lazy person's way of saying, I have no idea what I'm talking about, no idea what the law says, no idea what may be legal or legal, constitutional or unconstitutional, but I'm going to tell you to do this thing anyways, and then leave it up to you and people that might need to sue us to sort all of that out. In other words, it's a complete abrogation of responsibility by a federal employee. I would never in a million freaking years have ever written an opinion when I was the chief legal officer for Milwaukee County that said, here's what my opinion is, except if applicable law says otherwise. Because you know what? That was my stinking job. So that's garbage. Must temporarily pause all activities related to the expenditure of federal monies. What? So we're stopping spending federal monies. Okay. And, quote, other agency activities. What is that? So we're not spending money and federal agencies have to stop doing activities. About what, you may ask? Well, that may be, maybe they might be. Who decides? Might be a court, a lawsuit, whomever's running the department, a frontline employee, I don't know, that may be related to foreign aid. Full stop. So, okay, foreign aid and other relevant activities must stop. Foreign aid. So, Israel, Gaza, Ukraine, Sudan, all of Central and South America, Africa, the Far East, Hong Kong, Taiwan. Shall I continue? Don't even get me into the grammar rabbit hole about where the commas are placed in this thing. I'll just leave it with you. I am a grammarian, and it's garbage. They don't even know how to use commas, whoever wrote this. And by the way, more on that in a second. Foreign aid, stop. Non-governmental organizations, stop. So like Doctors Without Borders, Amnesty International. Oh, by the way, USAID was one of them. USAID, which is a federal executive branch agency, basically everybody's on leave. Like USAID has stopped. One of the things that USAID helps is to set up local governmental best practice functions in former Soviet Union republics. Just saying. It's like one of, forget democracy. Okay. So, you know, no foreign aid, no non-governmental organizations, comma, now separately listed, DEI. Here is my thing on DEI. No one in the Trump orbit knows what this means. I mentioned in the first hour, the Air Force stopped including in a training video mention of the Tuskegee Airmen because, you know, they were black. So is that DEI? Like, is anything that mentions female or that like a woman did this and it was important that she did this, or a black person or a Latino person or an Asian person? Can we talk about the internment of Japanese Americans? Or, since Donald Trump is invoking the Alien Enemies Act, is that also, you know, can't do that? Comma, woke gender ideology. So do we just not talk about gender? Like, there are no I'm confused. Sounds like they are, too. Do they just use the word woke? Anyone be like, oh, if it's woke. Well, what does woke mean? Does woke mean I just don't like President Trump? That's now woke? And the Green New Deal. Can we say the words climate change anywhere in the federal government? Or would that be prohibited other activities? Wait a minute. When does the First Amendment come into play? Because they love the... Is there cancel culture? Can we cancel woke gender ideology? Is that another activity? This is so stupid, it defies explanation. Oh, and by the way, this ban goes into effect today at 5 p.m. Eastern, which is in 46 minutes from now. TikTok, TikTok. This from Senator Ron Wyden. My staff has confirmed reports that Medicaid portals are shut down in all 50 states following last night's federal funding freeze. This is a blatant attempt to rip away healthcare from millions of Americans overnight and will get people killed. What? Well, that would sure sound like, let's see here, let's refer back to this insightful, well-researched, well-cited legal document. Oh, yes. Stop, temporarily pause all federal financial assistance. Mm-hmm. Okay. Garbage. This is garbage. Now, likely violates the Impoundment Act because Congress has the power of the purse. Let me break that down and not use the word impoundment because I mean, what's that? It violates the separation of freaking powers. The Federalist Society? No. The Federalist Society needs a new name, don't you think? The American Kings Club. That's what I'm going to call it. That's the OMB memo. And it is stopping the provision of key services that you and people you love in this state, in Wisconsin, in Illinois, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in New Mexico, and in Arizona, and in Florida, Massachusetts, Vermont, California, Washington State. It is stopping the provision of services at the state and local level that will, and I promise you this, will get people killed. Donald Trump, he ain't even trying to help the middle class, won't agree to tax billionaires more. In fact, his confirmee to become Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, has said we need more billionaire tax cuts. But it is beyond that, folks. He not only doesn't care about your pocketbook, he doesn't care if you die. I don't know how else to break it down. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you have been waiting for one of those days where I light my hair on fire, it is one of them. And I'm not going to do this every day, because if I did, I'd have a heart attack and I wouldn't make it through 4 years of the Trump administration. But when it is necessary, I will do so. You can count on me every day to tell you whether I think it's one of those hair on fire kind of days, and today is one of them. Now, when we come back, because we got to take care of a little business here shortly, I am going to talk about the firing of long-serving, frontline, career law enforcement prosecutors and what that means. And then I'm going to put together this ridiculous garbage memo from the Office of Management and Budget signed by and authored by Russell Vogt. Oh, wait, I forgot this about the OMB. This OMB memo, if you had any doubt who actually wrote it, you can tell by the data that was embedded in the document that it was written by the authors of Project 2025 from the Heritage Foundation. It's called metadata. They forgot to scrub it. Now, not only is the document dumb without citation or legal foundation, likely illegal, violating the separation of powers and the Impoundment Act, it's also dumb because they don't even know how to turn a Word document into a PDF and scrub the gosh darn metadata. We have fools in federal government, and it's only going to get worse. I tell you what it means to you when we come back after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us for a great conversation. 855
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the Morning Show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've heard from two of them today. Former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn joined me in the first hour, and then my colleague Dan Schaefer for my news segment that you're going to find every Tuesday at 2:30 called The State Slate with Dan Schaefer. We're now into the second hour, and it's been a rough 36-ish hours for me. If you're new to the show, new to the Maggie Dawn Show, new to me, welcome. I appreciate you listening or tuning in on YouTube at Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on Insta X and the Book of Faces. I served for over 7 years as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer. Coming out of law school, I served as a clerk to Judge Michael Caney of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. Judge Caney was a two-time Reagan appointee, first to the federal trial court and then to the federal appeals court. So I have served in government. I have both of my family members. My mom was a nurse. She worked in the VA in California for many years. My dad is a long-serving public servant. Service is in our blood. And it was my life's greatest honor to serve the people of Milwaukee County. And before that, I was an assistant city attorney for the city of Milwaukee. It was honor of my life to do that work. And it's now a deep, humbling privilege to talk with each and every one of you. I say all of this as prequel. Because what Donald Trump did yesterday is an abomination. Much of what he's done is an abomination, including the OMB directive that's basically like, oh, cool, just stop all federal assistance for stuff, which I talked about last segment. And the firing of the inspectors general, also illegal, was an abomination. But what happened last night and what is coming in terms of the Department of Justice and the FBI, of course, Dalla Bill Cash Patel's confirmation hearings coming up on Thursday. I'll cover it Thursday. What is going on right now in the FBI and the DOJ is so alarming. Donald Trump yesterday fired reportedly somewhere in the ballpark of 12 or more career prosecutors from the Department of Justice because they worked on either of the Trump criminal prosecutions. This was a letter from an acting attorney general, apparently emailed to these individuals, and it said this, quote, "The proper functioning of government critically depends on the trust superior officials place in their subordinates. Given your significant role in prosecuting the president, I do not believe that the leadership of the Department of Justice can trust you to assist in implementing the president's agenda faithfully." Here's what I'm going to tell you about government lawyers. They're not the lawyer of the president. Their client is not Donald Trump. Their job function isn't to serve a president's agenda, and it never should be. You can make an argument maybe that White House counsel's office is perhaps to do that, but I can make an argument that even there it's not. But setting that aside, Department of Justice lawyers, that is not their freaking job. My job when I was the chief legal officer for Milwaukee County wasn't to serve the county executive's agenda, which, by the way, made him really angry at me at certain points in time. My job wasn't to do the bidding of various county elected officials, though many of them that got really mad at me when I wouldn't do that. I experienced this firsthand. My job as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer was to serve the people and the entity, the people of and the entity that is Milwaukee County. And I took an oath to do that. The acting AG that sent this memo should lose his job because he doesn't know what his job is. It's not to serve the president's agenda. No, sir. Oh, by the way, this, like the OMB memo, is a very dense legal document filled with copious citations and an excellent deep analysis of the law. No, it's not. No, it's not. Here's the legal basis for that assertion. Quote, "Pursuant to Article 2 of the Constitution and the laws of the United States, your employment with the Department of Justice is hereby terminated." Article 2 does not give the president the power to override existing federal statutes that provide job protections to civil servants. He can fire at will appointees, but not inspectors general without notice to Congress in a 30-day waiting period and good cause. Doesn't apply to frontline prosecutors are civil servants that do not serve at the pleasure of the president. Otherwise, you'd see them in Senate confirmation hearings. Here's what else. That was just the tip of the iceberg yesterday. Okay? Because this interim or acting U.S. attorney also announced an internal investigation into the 250-plus January 6th cases that the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. investigated and prosecuted. That is a freaking witch hunt. Prosecutors who, when presented with facts and information by law enforcement officers, whether state, local, or federal, investigate and then charge crimes that are authorized by a grand jury indictment and present them before a court of law with federal rules of evidence where the defendants are entitled to counsel that are presided over by an Article 3 lifetime appointed judge, some of whom were Trump appointed judges, are not to be investigated by the Department of Justice for doing their jobs. What that is the threat of criminal prosecution being brought down on the heads of frontline prosecutors. Not only may you lose your job, we are now going to start coming after you criminally. I'm going to tell you what all this means, put it in the bigger context, what it might mean for you and yours right here in the state of Wisconsin. Keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. A federal judge blocks a White House freeze on federal grants and loans to review spending. Press Secretary Caroline Lam.
It is a temporary pause, and the Office of Management and Budget is reviewing the federal funding that has been going out the door. Again, not for individual assistance, but for all of these other programs.
Confirmation hearings begin tomorrow for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who was President Trump's nominee for Health and Human Services Secretary. His cousin Caroline warned senators and says in a video on social media,
I've known Bobby my whole life. We grew up together. It's no surprise that he keeps birds of prey as pets, because Bobby himself is a predator.
Fire officials say three major wildfires burning in Southern California are over 95% contained. Cleanup efforts are underway. And CBS's Carter Evans reports,
for the first time since the fire ravaged through the Palisades here, residents are getting a chance to come home and see what's left on their properties. And in many cases, it's not much. It's just a pile of rubble.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A Packers coach gets a contract extension. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers have signed Rich Bisaccia to a two-year contract extension. The 64-year-old Bisaccia is the special teams coordinator and assistant head coach. In his 3 years in Green Bay, he's improved their special teams rankings slightly, but is also viewed as a close advisor to Matt LaFleur. The team has also hired back Luke Getsy as an assistant coach. Getsy has served as an offensive coordinator for the Bears and the Raiders. It's possible Adam Stanovich could be hired away by another team as a coordinator who could be the play caller on game day. NBA, the Bucks with a 125-110 win over the Utah Jazz. Giannis and Damian Lillard each with 35 points. Chris Middleton off the bench with 22. Head coach Doc Rivers.
You could see Chris had live legs tonight, and that was good. As a staff, we have to be very patient with it.
The Bucks road trip continues tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. A forgotten actor joins the cast of a forgotten TV show. I always wondered why Jason Patrick never achieved bigger status as an actor. He always does solid work, and now will be doing it on a TV show that has been demoted from network TV to Peacock, but is part of a huge franchise known as Law & Order. Patrick, who is Jackie Gleason's grandson, will join Christopher Maloney in the cast of Law & Order Organized Crime for Season 5 as Detective Tom McKenna. There is no official date as to when Season 5 will drop. One of Pete's picks, A Complete Unknown. I'm not exactly going out on a limb here, as it's Oscar nominated. The film follows Bob Dylan's transition from folk and the acoustic guitar to rock and playing a more electric sound. The narrative uses Dylan's music as a through line, starting with his arrival in New York at the age of 19. Three of the film's cast members, Timothy Chalamet, Edward Norton, and Monica Barbaro, are all nominated for Oscars. Definitely worth a look. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any flurries or light snow showers coming to an end. Overnight lows dropping to the upper teens to lower 20s. West winds gusting over 30 miles per hour. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies developing with highs in the upper 20s to lower 30s. It's 39 at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll sort through the Wisconsin Supreme Court race with our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name's Maggie Dawn. On January 27th, 1838, a 28-year-old Abraham Lincoln rose before the Young Men's Lyceum in Springfield, Illinois, to make a speech that he called The Perpetuation of Our Political Institutions. If destruction be our lot, he said, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide. He was concerned about lawlessness in the country as men began to ignore the rule of law and act on their passions, imposing their will, their preferences on neighbors through violence. He pointed to two events which had just happened then. The lynching of a free black man, Francis McIntosh, in St. Louis, Missouri, and the murder of a white abolitionist editor, Elijah P. Lovejoy, by a pro-slavery mob in Alton, Illinois. But the problem of lawlessness, he said, wasn't limited to those individual instances. A public practice of ignoring the law had eventually broken down all guardrails. While the lawbreakers went unpunished and became convinced that they were entitled to act without constraint, without any fear of punishment, quote, having ever regarded government as their deadliest bane, Lincoln said, they made a jubilee of the suspension of its operations and pray for nothing so much as its total annihilation. As the patriots of 76 did to support the Declaration of Independence, so too the support of the Constitution and laws. Let every American pledge his life, his property, his sacred honor. Let reverence for the laws become the political religion of the nation. And let the old and the young, the rich and the poor, the grave and the gay, of all sexes and tongues and colors and conditions, sacrifice unceasingly upon its altars. And Lincoln warned that the very success of the American Republic threatened its continuation. Quote, men of ambition and talents could no longer make their name by building the nation, since that glory had already been won. Their ambition could not be served by simply preserving what those before them had created. So they sought to seek distinction through the nation's destruction. For such a man, Lincoln said, quote, distinction will be his paramount object. And although he would as willingly, perhaps more so, acquire it by doing good as harm, yet that opportunity being passed, and nothing left to be done in the way of building up, he would set boldly to the task of pulling down. And with no dangerous foreign power to turn people's passions against, people would turn from the project of establishing and maintaining civil and religious liberty and would instead, Lincoln predicted, turn against each other. He reminded his audience then that the torch of American democracy had been passed to them, that the founders had used their passions to create a system of laws, but that the time for passion had passed, lest it tear the nation apart. He asked the next generation to support democracy through sober reason. And he called for Americans to exercise, quote, general intelligence, sound morality, and in particular, a reverence for the Constitution and laws. Upon these, let the proud fabric of freedom rest as the rock of its basis. And as truly as has been said of the only greater institution, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This became known as the Lyceum Address, and it is one of the earliest speeches that Lincoln gave that has been preserved. And it really established his political career. That fundamental message that the law has to prevail over individual passions and political preferences speaks exactly to the moment that we find ourselves in today. With credit to Heather Cox Richardson, a historian that I've had on the show a number of times, that was her work pulling that together, as well as, of course, Lincoln's own words. Former U.S. Attorney Barbara McQuaid had this to say about Donald Trump's firing of career federal prosecutors who dared to try to hold the most powerful man in this country accountable for his actions, including the actions that he took after he left the Oval Office when he stole our nation's secrets. Here's what Barbara McQuaid said of Donald Trump's firing of these career prosecutors last night. Prosecutors did nothing wrong in bringing obstruction cases just because the Supreme Court subsequently interpreted the Constitution to prohibit that, despite no such limitation in the Constitution's text. By assigning supervisors to conduct an internal investigation, which has just been announced last night, they're going to actually conduct a witch hunt. Donald Trump creates an impression of misconduct by these prosecutors. Trump and his allies often complain about witch hunts. This is what a witch hunt really looks like. That from Barbara McQuaid. Here is what I fear. That now we will have to call this a witch hunt. Now we will have to talk about political prosecutions, because I am making the prediction here right now. It is 3:42 p.m. Central Time on January 28th. There will be career prosecutors in the Department of Justice who will end up facing criminal charges because they did their jobs. You think Christopher Wray was an abomination? His case was dismissed. Here we go again. My fear is that we have to call it a witch hunt, that political prosecutions are going to happen. And now the MAGAverse will simply say, see, we were right. But the doctrine of false equivalencies is the fancy word for BS. False equivalency is BS. We watched January 6th with our own eyes. We've heard from officers like Harry Dunn and Danny Hodges, who I've had on my show and did again today. People committed crimes. Jack Smith's report concluded that he would have convicted Donald Trump of crimes had the Supreme Court not waved its magic wand and declared presidents kings. So I want to step back. Here's what we got going on. The National Science Foundation has shut down hundreds of meetings to disperse federal grants. The National Institutes of Health are shutting down research projects, stopped hiring. They have stopped communicating with the public. USAID has put basically everybody on leave. The State Department, God knows, is that shut down? There are hiring freezes across the federal government. Job offers have been rescinded. Loyalty pledges in the form of Explain Your MAGA Awakening now appear on federal job applications. The inspector generals, the independent watchdogs of federal agencies have been fired. The Office of Management and Budget just, you know, stopped all federal spending, I guess. And now, frontline federal prosecutors are being threatened with criminal prosecution. They are being fired for doing their jobs. And don't forget me talking about local law enforcement and Donald Trump's threat to criminally prosecute local law enforcement officers if they do not participate in the violation of people's Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights in violation of the 10th Amendment principle of federalism. And Kash Patel, with his enemies list, is about to become the FBI director, the director of the world's largest law enforcement organization. Security details have been pulled from those with whom Donald Trump disagrees, putting their lives in danger. Dr. Fauci, Bill Barr, John Bolton, the list goes on. And Donald Trump just greenlit roving lynch mobs, because as long as it's in Donald Trump's interest, you will be pardoned. When they came for the socialist, I didn't speak because I wasn't a socialist. When they came for the unionist, I didn't speak either because I wasn't a unionist. When they came for the Jews, I remained silent because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for me. When are they coming for you? This isn't how government works. This isn't how democracies work. And those should be principles and values that transcend any political system of beliefs, whether government should be smaller or bigger, whether we deride the choice of pronouns, whether we believe we've done enough to achieve equality in this nation or not. This is fascism. And he promised it and he delivered it. And Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation and the Billionaire Boys Club authored it, and he's just signing the orders. You deserve better. If you voted for Donald Trump, you deserve better. And if you stayed home, shame on you, but you deserve better. And if you voted for Kamala Harris, you deserve better. We all deserve better than this. This is lawlessness. This is favor trading. This is corruption. And let me tell you, it shouldn't be the case that to serve our country, you have to have the fortitude of Abraham Lincoln or the bank account to defend yourself from a federal investigation. That shouldn't be the litmus test for government service, because what we will do is empty all levels of government from every person who in good faith, without fear or favor, wishes to serve. We will set every level of government back decades by the level of incompetence and self-interest and transactionalism that we're seeing on display, and it is only day 7. Now, I've made a promise to myself and each and every one of you that I will never leave a show without a ray of hope, without a thing to do to make it better. And today is no exception. So while I am heartbroken, having received probably upwards of 50 texts from people across all levels of government, from friends working as lawyers in federal government, afraid for themselves and their families and their livelihood and the future. Yeah, I'm afraid. You may be afraid too. You may be just ticked off. I'm that too. But now is the moment that we stand up. I'm going to give you some hope and an assignment when we come back. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Build your business with a partner you can trust, The Home Depot. When you join Pro Xtra, you get lower than shelf pricing and dedicated support to help you streamline your business and stay on budget. Get dedicated pro support for supply sourcing, custom orders, large equipment rentals, and more. At The Home Depot, we supply the support your job needs with the level of service your business deserves. The Home Depot, how pros get more done.
Have you made New Year's resolutions such as exercising more or learning a new skill? Why not add some financial resolutions? For starters, try to reduce your debt load. You'll improve your cash flow and have more to invest. See whether you can boost your pre-tax contributions to your traditional IRA and 401k. Once you're 50, you can even make catch-up contributions. If you have an education goal, consider investing in a tax-advantaged 529 education savings plan. Also, try to build an emergency fund containing up to 6 months' worth of living expenses, with the money kept in a liquid, low-risk account. Finally, even if you're relatively young, it's good to have your estate plans in order. And if you've already created these plans, you may want to review them, especially if you've had changes in your family situation involving marriage, divorce, or birth of children or grandchildren. You may not be able to tackle all these resolutions in 2025, but by addressing as many of them as possible, you can make progress towards your goals and set yourself on a positive course for the future. This is Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
This message is sponsored by WiskCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WiskCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WiskCaregiver.com.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Never give up that fight for which you know to be true and right. That is your solemn duty, obligation, and privilege as an American. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't worry, I don't light my hair on fire every day, but today it needed to get lit, y'all. For the last hour, I've been talking about the culmination of a whole array of actions Donald Trump has taken. It is lawlessness. And I've stitched it together, but I have made a promise to myself and to each and every one of you that I'm never going to leave a show without giving you something to do to make it better, to never, ever give up. And this stuff's bad. I mean, it's real bad. I barely slept last night. Many of my friends barely slept last night. But I'm going to give us a list of things to do together this week and in these coming weeks and in these coming years. And the first one is to take care of yourself. Being on this show with all of you is like therapy for me. What's your outlet? Maybe it's calling in. Maybe it's texting Bill from Green Bay, Carrie from Tulsa, Tom from Jackson, Mark from Prairie du Sac. I appreciate each and every one of you. Cam, of course, from Appleton, Steve in Milwaukee, Mary from Mount Horeb. Sorry, I haven't been able to get to your text today, but I wanted to get this all out there for you all. So take care of yourself. Take a break when you need it. I'm going to have a good meal and hopefully go to bed early tonight because I'm pooped. The second thing is see if you can get a couple people you know that aren't registered to vote and convince them to check in on this next Wisconsin Supreme Court election, April 1st of this year, just over 60 days from now. April 1st, I think I said it was the 25th. It's April 1st of this year. Now, here's the hard part. Got two easy things. Take care of yourself. Get a couple people registered to vote. Convince them to check in on this next Supreme Court election. Here's the hard part. Sometime this next couple of weeks, I want you to sit down and talk with someone that you very much disagree with about something that you very much feel passionately about. And before you have that conversation, I want you to go online and I want you to read about their perspective, the perspective that you disagree with. I want you to go research it. And I want you to open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. And I want you to try to have a conversation about that thing. And challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Because I'm going to tell you, there is a solution for what is going on. And yes, I do think courts will stand up and most judges will stand up and do the right thing. But that's a small measure of solace because the impacts are going to be immediate and those court cases take forever. But there is a solution. And that is, on a micro level, to enact laws that insulate the Department of Justice and the FBI from political control and power. There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We can start demanding a democracy where the laws that get enacted and the referendums on our ballots actually reflect the things that we think are most important. So go have the tough conversations. Because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations. I'm still not my best at them from time to time, but I keep trying. Heck, if you've been listening to this show, I sometimes try to have them on this show when I hear from my good conservative friends. And I always try to treat people with respect because I truly believe that the vast majority of us know BS when we hear it. We know that what's happening now isn't good for us. And we know the tax cuts for billionaires on top of other already in place tax cut for billionaires ain't good for the middle class. And I'll say this as well. We all know that presidents aren't kings. Now, I'll end with the easiest thing that you possibly can do after you have that tough conversation. In that conversation, I guarantee this person, this friend, this family member, this colleague that you disagree with about something that you're real passionate about is going to say something that you're like, I hear this all the time, or I've never heard that. What the heck is that? Write it down. And then email me that at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. And I'll address those questions this coming Friday at 3 o'clock in the new segment, Ask Maggie. Remember, friends, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Dom Salvia is up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we'll explain how some state lawmakers want to hide from you the true cost, the big price you're paying for kids to go to private voucher schools.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Caroline Kennedy warned senators that her cousin Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is, in her words, a predator. She's urging senators to reject his nomination as Health and Human Services Secretary. CBS's Matt Piper.
In a letter Caroline Kennedy wrote and was posted to social media a day before his confirmation hearings, she calls her cousin Robert F. Kennedy Jr. a threat.
It's no surprise that he keeps birds of prey as pets, because Bobby himself is a predator.
She says he is addicted to attention and power.
Bobby preys on the desperation of parents of sick children, vaccinating his own kids while building a following, hypocritically discouraging other parents from vaccinating theirs.
Another cousin, former Congressman Patrick Kennedy, spoke highly of RFK Jr. in a Tuesday Washington Post op-ed. Matt Piper, CBS News.
A judge pauses until Monday a Trump administration order freezing funding for federal grants and loans. CBS's Nancy Cordes reports.